Okay, let's see who's substituting for me tonight. See, we got, is Burby here?
Peter!
No? Sam! Sam Cedar back there? Somebody, Jeff! Jesus, I don't believe this. Hey, Truth Seekers, welcome to the program. My name is Mike Malloy. I used to fill in this time slot on this radio network until something bizarre happened. I don't know what it was. It was a toss-up between lung cancer, severe bronchitis. What else, Kathy? So far, not the lung cancer. Jesus, I regret all those years I smoked now. Oh, my God. Yeah, well, once you stop, I stopped almost 6 years ago. Once you stop, you every time you get a cold or bronchitis or something, you go, uh-oh, there it is, there it is. Just some kind of weird bronchitis. Living in the South now, especially in these megalopolises like Atlanta, if you do something risky and dangerous, like go outside and exercise on a code red day, you may wind up not being able to do your radio program the next night. So anyway, I called my doctor and he said, what the hell were you doing outside? Don't you watch the news? You can't go outside when you have a cold. We have bronchitis. I'm back, and I know this is probably unnecessary, but I apologize for the absences. I really do. I hate missing work. I hate it because I figure people tune into this program every night to hear this program every night. And nothing against Sam or Peter or Jeff or anybody that fills in for me. These are all great guys. They really are. But they have programs, and if you really want to hear them, you can. So I do apologize for all the absences. But thanks to Pete Werby, who is listening to Gypsy Music in downtown Detroit. So I got an email from him earlier today, and he said he had some errands to run, and then he and Marilyn, his wife, are going to go to, down the Detroit River, Kathy. Remember the Detroit River? And listen to Gypsy Music, whatever that means. I don't know what that means, but it sounds like fun. And Kathy wanted you to know... Kathy is such a mom. Oh, my God, she's such a mom. Kathy wanted you to know that in the gallery section at MikeMalloy.com, there are new Molly pictures. All you have to do is go to MikeMalloy.com, click on the link that says gallery, and then take an insulin shot.
Well, can I help it if I bake cupcakes and little ice cream cones and think my kid's the most beautiful child that ever lived?
No, you can't. No, you can't. You really can't. That's fine. We're going to start the program tonight with Dick Cheney. You all have heard this, seen this on YouTube. You probably heard it on Overman's program. But if you didn't, if you've missed both of those sources, this is Dick Cheney in 1994 explaining why an invasion of occupation, I should say, of Iraq and overthrow of Saddam Hussein would not be a good idea.
Do you think that the U.S. or U.N. forces should have moved into Baghdad?
No.
Why not?
Because if we'd gone to Baghdad, we would have been all alone. There wouldn't have been anybody else with us. It would have been a U.S. occupation of Iraq. None of the Arab forces that were willing to fight with us in Kuwait were willing to invade Iraq. Once you got to Iraq and took it over and took down Saddam Hussein's government, then what are you going to put in its place? That's a very volatile part of the world, and if you take down the central government in Iraq, you can easily end up seeing pieces of Iraq fly off. The Syrians would like to have to the west, part of eastern Iraq, the Iranians would like to claim, fought over for 8 years. In the north, you've got the Kurds, and if the Kurds spin loose and join with the Kurds in Turkey, then you threaten the territorial integrity of Turkey.
Yeah.
It's a quagmire. You go that far and try to take over Iraq. The other thing was casualties. Everyone was impressed with the fact that we were able to do our job with as few casualties as we had.
Yeah.
But for the 146 Americans killed in action and for their families, it wasn't a cheap war. Mm. And the question for the president in terms of whether or not we went on to Baghdad and took additional casualties in an effort to get Saddam Hussein was how many additional dead Americans is Saddam worth? And our judgment was not very many, and I think we got it right.
Ah, you think you got it right. Well, something happened in the... In the nine ensuing years since you psychopathic bastard, ordered an invasion of Iraq. And it was you. It wasn't Bush. Bush couldn't find his ass with both hands. It was you who ordered it, and now we're up to we're approaching 4,000 dead Americans. Apparently, the price of Americans went down, Dick. Is that what happened? You thug. You hideous thug. Have I mentioned yet how much I hate him? Oh, my God. In the current issue of The Nation, several good essays, as always. The one by Katha Pollitt, Who's Sorry Now? about the invasion and occupation of Iraq. What Katha points out in this essay is the lack of reportage now on the part of mainstream media that all of us who protested the war, I'm talking about us common folk, were right. People like Will Rivers Pitt and Ben Birch and Mike Malloy and you and Kathy Bay and everybody else who got out on the streets and protested and demonstrated and marched, hundreds of thousands of us, took time off from whatever we were doing, say, no, don't do this. And it turned out to be exactly what all of us demonstrators said it would be. Now, the mainstream media can be forgiven for, I guess, for ignoring people like you and me, because we are hoi polloi. We are the commoners. We are the proles. We really don't matter. But what about Howard Zinn, Noam Chomsky, Scott Ritter, Code Pink, and Yes the Nation? What about those are well-known folks and organizations. They got it right. Michael Moore got it right. Those are important people. They're not like you and me. As Katha Pollitt winds up her column, it would be nice, she writes, if the mainstream media acknowledged that we were right. That we were right. And hell, they could even acknowledge that Cheney was right. Have you seen this video of Cheney on the CBS Evening News or whatever it's called now? Fun and Games with Kathy Couric. I don't even know. I have to be honest with you. I've not watched CBS News since Katie Couric took over, and not because I'm a sexist pig, but simply Katie Couric belonged on morning television, I guess. I don't even go. Don't get started with that crap, Malloy. Just never mind. But I have yet to see this video. Maybe it has been played. MSNBC or CNN. All I've seen on MSNBC, though, is this horror in Utah. This absolute horror. Was it last night, Kathy? We were, I was, like a fish out of water last night, gasping for breath. And, I took some prednisone today. Don't write to me about prednisone, because I know what an evil, nasty drug it is. I know. But it reduces lung swelling or whatever the hell's swollen inside my bronchial. Anyway, last night, sitting up in bed, watching Anderson Cooper. It was his program, where all of a sudden these ambulances started flowing into this mine site, and they started hauling more bodies out. Jesus God, 3 more people dead, 6 more, and now they've stopped everything. Stopped everything. That's all that's been on MSNBC and CNN, that and this filthy, degenerate, rich man's game of buy low, sell high stock market crap that's going on. The situation at the mine in Iraq, in Utah, is just so sad. And in my opinion, I know nothing about mining, but I do know about technology a little bit. And it seems to me to be so unnecessary to have people in situations like that, where the slightest, what are they calling it? The mountain of a bump? A seismic bump? Christ, I thought that was a dance move, and apparently it's not. It's or it used to be, or something. Now it results in, Robert Murray, is it Robert Murray, the guy that owns the mine, who keeps talking about earthquakes and the moon affecting the tidal rock movements and plate tectonics and everything? He's not going to take any responsibility for having a cheap-ass mine with poor safety conditions. Cited how many times, Kathy? 216 citations against this killer. But this is the coal industry. This is the Bureau of Mines. This is the Department of the Interior. This is another corrupt, out of all the administration's agencies, the Bureau of Mines is as corrupt or more corrupt than any of them. Oh, well, don't point fingers, Malloy. Don't play the blame game. We're not going to play the blame game today here at the White House press conference. Stuff happens. People die. Casualties occur. And as this rat bastard who owns the mine says, mining is a dangerous business. Well, yes, it is a dangerous business. So doesn't that mean that you take all necessary and available precautions to reduce the odds of people going to work and never coming home?
Ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. If you want to see the sine qua non of coal mining documentaries, Harlan County, USA, referencing Harlan County, several mining companies there. Harlan County, Kentucky? I think it's Kentucky, yeah. It came out, oh my God, what, 25 years ago? I think it was Academy Award winner documentary, I think. Harlan County, USA. You should check it out. The latest criminal activity of the Chinese. Can you believe this? There's a global manhunt underway right now, launched by Johnson & Johnson, the big over-the-counter company, you know, Band-Aids and stuff like that. They have, as a result of this manhunt, you might call it, they've tracked to China counterfeit versions of an at-home diabetes test kit used by 10 million Americans, the One Touch Ultra, One Touch Horizon. If you are diabetic and test yourself, I hope to hell you saw this this article. It's at Bloomberg.com. It was on NBC News tonight, or no, CNN tonight. These rat bastards in China. Is there anything that they won't counterfeit and sell? This involves people's lives. This is the one-touch test strip sold by Johnson & Johnson's Life Scan unit. And dangerous copies of this surfaced in American and Canadian pharmacies last year. That's according to federal court documents and sealed in June. Now, right away you want to know, well, if they surfaced last year, why were court documents sealed until June of this year, and why are we hearing about it now? Oh, could it be that the Bush crime family doesn't want to do anything to disturb the Chinese? Because if the Chinese ever get too big of a burr up their collective ass, they're going to pull the rug out from everything that operates in this country and we fall down, go boom, you suppose? Johnson & Johnson, which calls itself the world's largest consumer health products maker, learned of the counterfeit test strips after 15 patients complained of faulty results last year. The U.S. Now tipped off by Johnson & Johnson, I love this part, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration issued a nationwide consumer alert last October without disclosing the link to China. Now, what happens if you're using one of these test strips and it gives you a false reading? Well, you might inject the wrong amount of insulin if you're a diabetic and fall down dead. Jesus Christ. And the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, in a co-conspiratorial move with these Chinese rat bastards, nothing. No link. No, don't tell anybody it's Chinese. Don't tell them. I'll tell you, I've had it with American corporations that have gone to China. Huh? Mattel, screw you. I will never buy another thing. Well, we haven't bought that much anyway, but I will recommend to everybody, don't buy anything from Mattel. Not because they allowed it to happen, but because what the hell is wrong with having American workers make American kids' toys? What's wrong with that? You profit-centered bastards, to the point where you don't care? Oh, well, we didn't know about it. A million toys and you didn't know? I hate them. The court filings, this is at Bloomberg, disclosed for the first time that China is the source of about a million phony test strips that have turned up in 35 U.S. states, in Canada, Greece, India, Pakistan, the Philippines, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey. The court documents reveal also for the first time a worldwide distribution chain discovered in the past year by investigators hired by Johnson & Johnson. Not the U.S. government. Johnson & Johnson! Well, on the other hand, what's the difference? What do we got now? Contaminated toothpaste, seafood that swims in human excrement and then is butchered and sent over here. Toys that will kill your child. Cat food and pet food that'll kill your pet. And I said this year, this week, Mattel is recalling a million. No. 18 million Barbie dolls. Jesus God, my granddaughter has Barbie dolls. And where do you see the list? You can, I don't know where you can see the list. The list of home testing kits that are made by these filthy Chinese vermin. Counterfeited, faked. It's not just your diabetic test strip. Oh, my God. There's about 30 of them, 30 different home test kits, everything from HIV testing to pregnancy test kits, everything that is counterfeited by these vermin and sold on the global market. There ought to be a worldwide boycott, a stopping of Chinese product sales in this country. Everything. Don't you think? I get furious about this. And American corporations, that Johnson & Johnson did not outsource this. These are counterfeits. But the American companies that have been so willing to compromise your child's safety, my child's safety, my grandkids, your grandkids, your safety, my safety, all of it, for this lousy profit. That they continue to we need more profit. We have CEOs that have to make $200 million this year. We're invested in hedge funds. Screw the American consumer. Get what you can get. Aren't you sick of it? Aren't you sick of it?
Chowlin' asked if I wanted more as he was dialing up his buddy at the old pet store. I said, not today, I lost my appetite. There's two cats in my belly and they want to fight. I was sucking on a rolling in a Tums or two.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. You can file this away. Before I get to this little item, I wonder what the pig man, Limbaugh, this filthy, degenerate psychopath that has convinced so many people that it's fun to be insane and unable to think clearly, especially where it concerns global warming, global climate change. I wonder what the pig man does. Well, of course, I'm sure at his house in Florida where he broadcasts his show, I'm sure he keeps the temperature in that house probably around 62 degrees. But what does he think when he sees a story like this, if he does? The Tennessee Valley Authority shut down one of its three units at the Browns Ferry nuclear plant yesterday because water drawn from the Tennessee River that is used to cool the reactor was too hot. Now, the Tennessee Valley Authority is the nation's largest public utility. And the water that was being drawn out of the Tennessee River was exceeding 90-degree average over 24 hours. John Moulton, a spokesman for the TVA, which is based in Knoxville, Tennessee, said, "We don't believe we've ever shut down a nuclear unit because of river temperature." There was no safety threat posed by the shutdown. The spokesman said the average high temperature Thursday was 103 for five of the largest cities in TVA's coverage area, Huntsville and Knoxville, Chattanooga, Memphis, and Nashville. And by the way, the demand for power generated by the nation's largest public utility set a record on Thursday. They don't know how much of a record because the figures aren't available yet, but they do know it set a record. And, of course, Tennessee Valley Authority gets about 60% of its electricity from coal-fired power plants. That's why you cannot go to the Shenandoah Valley here in the South. You cannot go to the Blue Ridge Mountains anymore. You cannot go to Chattanooga, and you certainly can't go to Birmingham or Atlanta or any of the places here in the Mid-South and expect to be able to breathe, not even into the national forests. 60% of the electricity comes from coal-fired plants, 30% from nuclear plants, 10% from the 29 hydroelectric dams that the TVA set up way back during the 30s and 40s and 50s when all this stuff was built. Renewable energy sources like wind and solar power, not even 1%. Not even 1%. What else we got here? Oh, the Bush administration is opposing... This makes me laugh and cry at the same time. You know how many times I've told you that Bush just disgusts me when he uses soldiers as props, and he does it every chance he can, and the soldiers have nothing to say about it, absolutely nothing. Cadets, soldiers, people at military academies, veterans, well, maybe the veterans do, but if they're still in uniform and their commander says, get your ass in for this photo op behind Chuckle Nuts, they do it. The Bush administration opposes an effort by Democrats to restore full educational benefits for returning veterans. Huh? Another sharp stick in the eye of veterans. When are people who serve in the U.S. military going to realize that Bush and the Republicans don't care if you live or die? As a matter of fact, it matters not to them. And if you're going to die, they want you to kill some Iraqis or whoever you're killing before you do die. And if you come back wounded, catastrophically wounded, or mildly wounded, or PTSD'd out of your mind, or whatever it is, screw you. And as far as wanting education, no. Here, sign here, and you'll get your $40,000 bonus. Maybe. If you don't die, it's just a gamble. Come on, here you go, right here, sign here. Senate Democrats, led by Virginia's Jim Webb. You remember Jim Webb? Conservative Democrat, was Secretary of Navy in the Reagan administration, Vietnam vet, huh? He wants the government to pay every penny of veterans' educational costs from tuition at a public university to books, housing, and monthly stipend. Not Harvard, not Yale, public university. That's all. That's all. Now, what does it cost? Real good public universities, $10,000, $12,000 a year. You can get better deals than that. Such a benefit was that was a major feature of the GI Bill that was passed by Democrats in 1944, which put more than 8 million U.S. soldiers through college. And the GI Bill was the engine, along with the labor movement, that created, or certainly developed the expansion of America's middle class after World War II. The GI Bill and the labor movement. What do we have left? Still have a labor movement? Hell no. How many American workers belong to labor unions? 9% now? Is it down 9, 8? I know it's single digits. GI Bill? What a laugh. There was the current GI Bill law passed in 1985. Veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan can expect the government to cover only 75% of their tuition. Not their books. Not housing. Nothing. 75% of tuition. The rest of it, go screw yourself. We used you. We got what we wanted out of you. We sucked you dry. We're Republicans. We don't care if you live or die. Now get out of my face. I've got to go write a check for my son or daughter who's going to go to Yale. Get out of my face. Keith Wilson, the VA official who oversees the educational benefits program for the Bush crime family, told senators a couple of weeks ago that this proposal to restore full educational benefits for returning veterans would, quote, make administration of this program cumbersome, end quote. Would make administration of the program cumbersome, end quote. You filthy pig. Why doesn't somebody put him in the same kind of battle gear that our soldiers in, give him a rifle, and drop him off in downtown Baghdad? About, oh, I don't know, 6 clicks from the green zone. Huh? See if you can make it, you son of a bitch. This is unbelievable. The administration of the program would be cumbersome, so we're not going to do it. Sorry. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Webb's bill has 19 Democratic co-sponsors, including Clinton and Kerry, who is, well, Kerry is a veteran.
Can you explain why it's cumbersome to write a check for 100% and it's not cumbersome to write a check for 75%? What makes the 100% more cumbersome?
No. Now, words from the front of how Christians treat veterans. Did you see this one? This is from Houston, from Arlington, Texas. Good God. A mega church there canceled a memorial service for a Navy veteran 24 hours before it was to happen because the church bastards found out the dead Navy veteran was gay. Now, there's more to the story. I sound like Paul Harvey. Officials at the High Point Church knew that Cecil Howard Sinclair was gay when they offered to host his service, said his sister, Kathleen Wright. But after his obituary listed his life partner as one of his survivors, the sister said, this filthy puke church called it off. She said, last Friday, it's like a slap in the face. It's like, oh, we're sorry he died, but he's gay, so we can't help you. Miss Wright said the High Point Church offered to hold the service for Sinclair because she and her dead brother's brother is a janitor at the church. It's three siblings, two boys and a girl. One guy is a janitor there, then you have the sister, and then you have the Navy veteran. Sinclair, who died, who served in the first Gulf War, died Monday at age 46 from an infection after surgery to prepare him for a heart transplant. Probably used something made in China and gave him an infection, right? The church's pastor, a devil, right from the bowels of Satan, right from Satan's anus, Reverend Gary Simons, said the church believes homosexuality is a sin and would have appeared to endorse that lifestyle if the service had been held there. My God, it just never stops, does it? And then this pig, Simons, this reverend who comes right out of Satan's anus, said, we did decline to host the service not based on hatred, not based on discrimination, but based on principle. And I have to live in the same country with these pigs. Now, here's the kicker. This church, it has 5,000 members. It was founded in 2000 by this dropping from Satan's anus, Simons, and his wife, April. Guess who's a brother? Guess who April's brother is? Joel Osteen. You've seen him on television. He's the pastor of the 38,000-member Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. Yeah, you see him? He's that angular-looking dude up there, always preaching and talking about the love of Christ, except when it comes to faggots. Christ doesn't even love a dead faggot. He doesn't like live faggots. He doesn't love dead faggots. He doesn't love faggots. And they ain't going to be buried in our church. No service here. Get the faggot out of here. I don't know what I hate more tonight. These church demons or the Chinese. I don't know. I'll think about it during the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Jesus, and he can still love me. And kind of all I want to do is satisfy my Lord and be the bestest Christian boy. In all the whole wide world, I'll be a cowboy, a Christian cowboy. I'll look for Jesus all my days. And on the prairie,
I wish I could quit you.
I'll help him round up all the strays.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, So here's a couple of emails. On profit and China, subject line, this is from Douglas in Berkeley. Mike, Joseph Campbell wrote several years ago, quote, "We are sacrificing our children on the altar of profit," end quote. Hard to imagine a country like China with a population numbering the billions giving one whit about the health of Americans. And I find a direct link between the latest mine collapse and profit, no matter what. Deregulate the government oversight, thus cutting costs, no longer needed safety measures, profit goes way up, and the surplus earnings will trickle down. Yeah, right. Burn in hell, Reagan, and everyone who looks to Reagan as some sort of American icon. Yeah, yeah, I get so tired of realizing, you know, there's a disaster someplace. Then you get some right-wing snot on radio say, "I wonder how long it'll take before the liberals blame Bush or Reagan," which is exactly where the blame goes. I mean, where else are you going to put it? The two Bushes and Reagan destroyed the country. I mean, Nixon got it rolling, but they just absolutely gutted it, deregulated everything. Yeah, Clinton, too. There was some Clinton in there, too. So let's not forget Clinton. This is from Eleanor. Contamination from China is a subject line. She says, this is not even on television, what she's got below. I'm told, I heard about it on radio after I've been sick to death for nearly 2 months. From making tea every day brewed with fresh ginger. I drink ginger tea while I'm working. Big deal, right? When I feel lousy, I'm likely to drink more ginger tea and apparently poison myself in the process. I had to try to track it down through two local grocers I purchased from. The bad stuff came from a field in China that was adjacent to a cotton field that was sprayed with pesticide. What's the big tip-off if you've been poisoned like this? Sure, the flu stuff. Sure, the headache. But the tip-off is that your eyes don't focus and you can't read street signs when you need to drive somewhere. Christ, where does it end? Eleanor. And this is from Mercury News. Is that the Mercury, the newspaper? I don't know. And this is from California, I guess. It says, state health officials are warning against eating fresh ginger from China that a Gilroy company distributed to Northern California supermarkets in recent weeks. Tests show it was tainted with an unapproved pesticide. Ah! The ginger contained residue from aldecarb sulfoxide, a pesticide that can cause nausea, headache, blurred vision, dizziness, sweating, vomiting, diarrhea, muscle stiffness, and difficulty breathing. The ginger was purchased from China by a Los Angeles County importer, which sold it here and sold it there and sold it this way. State health officials found the pesticide residue while conducting random testing of samples from local grocery stores. A spokesman for the California Department of Public Health said, "We're very disturbed by what happened." Kathy, we buy ginger at the farmer's market. We, a matter of fact, we have some upstairs, up in the kitchen. We ought to... We better, oh God, I'll bet it is from China too. They say China ginger, like, here's some ginger from China. You know, the people that invented it. Oh my God. I hate the Chinese. Vermin. Scum. Oh, now, send me an email and tell me I'm being a jingoistic bastard attacking the Chinese. Hey, screw them! Are you kidding me? They're poisoning us, poisoning our children, poisoning the world. They should know better, right? Don't they have like a 9,000-year history? And what about this? There's a video that surfaced now by television station KSLA Channel 10. It's a news report which confirmed something that was on PrisonPlanet.com. And that is the so-called clergy response teams that are being trained by the Bush crime family to, quote, quell dissent, end quote, in the event of a declaration of martial law. Holy jumping Jesus! This is on alternet.org, KSLA, Channel 10. Where is that? Is that in California? And prisonplanet.com. Pastors and other religious representatives could become secret police enforcers who teach their congregations to, quote, obey the government, end quote. It also teaches the pastors how to participate in property and firearm seizures, mass vaccination programs, and forced relocation. According to prisonplanet.com, the first directive was for pastors to preach to the congregations, Romans 13, the often taken out of context biblical passage that was used by Hitler to hoodwink Christians into supporting him in order to teach them to obey the government. When martial law is declared, pastors were told that they would be backed up by law enforcement in controlling uncooperative individuals and that they would even lead SWAT teams in attempting to quell resistance. Though some doubted the accuracy of this report at the time, due to its fundamentally disturbing implications, the story has now been confirmed by a KSLA Channel 12 news report in which participating clergy and officials admit to the existence of the program. It was related to the pastors that quarantines, martial law, and forced relocation were a problem for state authorities when enforcing federal mandates due to the, quote, cowboy mentality, end quote, of citizens standing up for their property and Second Amendment rights, as well as farmers defending their crops and livestock from seizure. Now, this is now called cowboy mentality. Son of a bitch, do you believe this? It was stressed that the pastors needed to preach subservience to the authorities ahead of time in preparation for the roundups and to make it clear to the congregation that, quote, this is for their own good. Well, of course, you know, the Christian religion is nothing more than a death cult to begin with. If you're a Christian, I don't care. I'm not going to tell you I'm sorry. I'm not saying that there aren't people who subscribe to that madness, who don't overcome the madness of it and go out and do good works. Sure there are. There are atheists that do good works, probably more atheists than there are Christians that do honest to God, if you'll pardon the expression, good works. But Christians are members of a global death cult. And anyone that thinks that Christians, and so are Muslims for that matter, and so are fundamentalist Jews, they're all crazy, crazy. But Christians, oh my God. So now they're going to work hand in hand with the Bush. And don't forget, all you defenders of the Second Amendment out there, the only president of the United States who's ever ordered a gun grab was a Republican, George Bush. And you dumb bastards were running around a couple of years ago worried about Clinton and Gore. Oh, man! Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. My name is Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. This is hour two of the program tonight. Jose Padilla, and I'm still here. Hour two and I'm still here. We haven't had a brownout. I haven't gone into coughing spasms. Jesus. I know. It's because Peter Werby's busy tonight, so I had to come in. Jose, I know a lot of people insist his name is Padilla, but now they're insisting his name is Padilla, so let's go with Padilla. The New York Times said it all.
In a significant victory for the Bush administration, a federal jury found Jose Padilla guilty of terrorism conspiracy charges on Thursday after little more than a day of deliberation.
A victory for the Bush administration. Notice that? Not a victory for truth, justice, the American way, counterterrorism. No. Not a victory for the Constitution or our judicial system. No. A victory for the Bush administration. I picked this up somewhere. The writer says, I'm listening to Democracy Now!'s interview today with Jose Padilla's psychiatrist. Dr. Angela Hegarty interviewed Padilla for 22 hours. This is one of the most chilling news items of the hundreds of chilling news items ever to emerge from the Bush era. Among this psychiatrist's observations, because of his torture and isolation, Jose Padilla now deeply identifies with his torturers, the government, and President Bush. One of the reasons he refuses to assist his attorneys is his concern that if he wins his case, this would impair President Bush's ability to keep detaining the terrorists at Guantanamo Bay. The doctor says that Padilla exhibits, quote, Stockholm Syndrome, end quote. Also this, Padilla appears to be brain damaged. Dr. Hegarty noted that severe isolation for just a few days can cause psychosis. Padilla suffered severe isolation for several years. The result seems to be not just mental illness, but hardwired brain damage. Next, the torture he experienced was intended to accomplish the complete destruction of a human being. The isolation was intended to give Padilla the overwhelming impression that there was no possibility of his ever getting out of detention. The similarity between what happened to Padilla and what happened to Winston Smith in Orwell's 1984 shows just how sick the Bush administration is. If you want the transcript of the whole interview, go to Amy Goodman's democracynow.com or .com, and the transcript should be there. Jesus, God. When I saw that, and this jury, what is up with this jury? Was it 3 or 4 month trial? Somebody whose life has been turned into nothing but, we have the cicadas here in Georgia, and they come out and they make weird noises with their wings, and then they shed their skins and they fly away, and what's left, I guess they shed their skins first, obviously. What's left is this weird-looking little, what do you call an exoskeleton? What is that thing? Is that what you call it? This little thing left clinging to the tree, and you can pick them off. I used to pick them off in Ohio when I was a kid, and here they are in Atlanta. And Padilla reminds me of now, just a hollowed-out shell. It still looks like something. He still looks like a human being, but he has been utterly and absolutely murdered by these sons of bitches. Murdered! Killed! He has been mentally killed! I have been reading lately about how long it takes to totally and completely break someone into a gibbering mess by isolating them from any sort of sensual input. Sight, hearing, taste, smell, total isolation, and sleep deprivation. Do you know how long it takes? Days. That's all. It is one of the most ancient and exquisite forms of torture, denying sleep and injecting total disorientation into somebody's circadian rhythms or cycles or whatever the hell they're called, to the point where a person doesn't know what time it is, doesn't know where they are, can't smell, taste, feel, or see anything. And that's what they did to Padilla. That's what they did to him. And this jury, what is up with this jury? Finding this man guilty, what was he charged with? Originally he was charged. I remember the day. Do you remember, Kathy? Ashcroft, the Holy Ghost was in Moscow. And all of a sudden, all the networks are carrying, there is the Holy Ghost, John Ashcroft. We have arrested a man today and broken up an attempt to set off a radioactive dirty bomb in one of our major cities. Remember that? That's not what he was convicted of. He was convicted of conspiracy to commit terrorism overseas. Why didn't the government bring charges that they originally touted as the reason they arrested him? Well, for a very simple reason. The case finally got to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court was going to rule on the constitutionality of what these monstrous bastards in the Bush administration had done to this Chicago gang member. And at the last minute, before the Supreme Court to hear the case, the Bush crime family turns him over to federal authorities, to the federal prison system, and all of a sudden there is no charge of dirty bomb. Now, the best spin that is possible to put on this murderous action by this filthy administration, the best spin, is to point out that the Bush crime family did not need to assert the extraordinary powers to detain Padilla without charges for several years because they got their guilty verdict, and they got it in a duly constituted court in this country in front of a jury. So this puts the lie to the charge that only military tribunals can. Oh my God. Oh my God. This filthy administration gambled that it could get Padilla on something. Even if it couldn't hold him responsible for what they say he was planning to do in the beginning. So I guess this is the new MO now. Arrest somebody and charge them with hideous crimes so that the dumb American public, we sit there and go, oh, damn, somebody was going to set off a bomb in downtown Bowling Green? Holy Jesus. Well, kill the son of a bitch. That's all. Just kill him. Put him away. I don't care. Charge him with that, setting off a bomb in downtown Bowling Green. And when you finally have to put him on trial, charge him with porn on his internet. Jesus, God. Even the New York Times, who is partly responsible for the hysteria in this country, in their lead editorial today said, on the way to this verdict, the government repeatedly trampled on the Constitution, and its prosecution of Mr. Padilla was so cynical and inept that the crime he was convicted of bears no relation to the ambitious plot to wreak mass destruction inside the U.S., which the Justice Department first loudly proclaimed. Even with the guilty verdict, this conviction remains a shining example of how not to prosecute terrorism cases. When Mr. Padilla was arrested in 2002, the government said he was an Al-Qaeda operative who had plotted to detonate a radioactive dirty bomb inside the U.S. Mr. Padilla, who is an American citizen, should have been declared as charged as a criminal and put on trial in a civilian court. Instead, President Bush declared him an enemy combatant to keep and kept him in a Navy brig for more than 3 years. The administration's insistence that it had the right to hold Padilla indefinitely, simply on Bush's word, was its first outrageous act in the case, but hardly its last. Mr. Padilla was kept in a small isolation cell, and when he left that cell, he was blindfolded, and his ears were covered, and he was denied access to a lawyer even when he was being questioned. This is what it's come to in this country, True Seeker, and you right-wing bastards who see nothing wrong with that, wait till it's your turn. Then you can fall on your knees and beg Jesus to help you. And you know what will happen? Your pastor will say, now, be quiet. Be quiet. It's time for you to go to the little room. Be quiet. This is awful. It really is. The Jose Padilla thing. And the jurors, these scum sucking jurors after months of testimony. And Padilla couldn't even take the stand in his own defense because he didn't even know where the hell he was. And these filthy, filthy jurors. Miami-Dade, huh? Well, that answers a lot.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour, and SK writes, not to forget that Padilla was also linked to 9/11 by these bastards. It's just astonishing. The big piece of evidence against Padilla was his fingerprints on an application to attend... I don't know. They're calling it an Al-Qaeda training camp in where? In Egypt or Chechnya? Afghanistan? What, they send out applications? Holy Christ, really?
I think it was actually his cafeteria choice page, or it might have been the dorm room selection.
That could have been. Now, during the trial... The district judge, U.S. District Judge Marcia Cook, often reminded the jury that the case was not about September 11th, and dozens of jurors were struck from the panel because they had expressed prejudices related to the attacks or doubted their ability to be fair. Yet, According to the Associated Press, it was difficult not to think about September 11th when bin Laden's tape, darkly threatening the U.S. in the 7-minute video clip played on a giant screen for jurors on June 26. The video from a 1997 interview on CNN was played over defense objections, particularly from Padilla's lawyers, who said there was no evidence he had ever seen it. Oh, my God. Mike in St. Paul, that's from SK. Mike writes, for all you right-wing nut jobs out there listening, Padilla is not the manager of the Chicago clubs. That's Pinella. Padilla, of course, we can all agree, kept some bad company. But what is tragic is that Padilla was detained for 3 years without a lawyer. That means arrested and kept behind bars without his right as a U.S. citizen to consult with counsel. Why does it matter? Because in America, everyone's rights are supposed to be equal. In order to protect those who are innocent and accused of a crime, you see, right-wing lurkers, accusing and convicting innocent people of crimes has always been a favorite tool of the tyrant. And although you might like who the tyrant is now, you may wake up a few years from now and realize that Bill and Hillary are the tyrants. And since Bush did such a fine job of eroding constitutional protections, then you right-wing lurkers can worry about being arrested because your views are a threat to the Clinton administration. That could never happen, right? Huh? What if there is another terrorist attack on this country? If Hillary is in power, she will be wielding all the unchecked power that W has so nicely laid out for her. Are you getting it, right-wing lurker? Probably not. Oh, well. Glad they nailed Padilla. As for eroding the right-wing lurker's constitutional protections in the process, well, you decide, right-wing lurker. The problem with that, Mike, in St. Paul, is that right-wingers, if you present them, disguise it and present them, the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, put it in more pedestrian language and just say, hey, what do you think of this? They'll say, well, Jesus, this looks like something from communism. I don't want anything to do with this. This isn't what Jesus told me to do. Right-wingers despise the Constitution. Right-wingers hate the first 10 amendments to that Constitution. Right-wingers want to be told what to do by a Hitler, Or Goebbels, or a Himmler, or a Bush, or their pastor. So, sorry, Mike. Right-wingers wouldn't give a damn. Don't give a damn. From Angie. I'll get to Angie's email here in a second. So I just... Oh, by the way, if you want to read something that will make your blood turn to ice water, the August 14th issue of The New Yorker, it's not online anymore. I don't know if you can get it online. The newer issue is out. But the August 14th issue of The New Yorker, the writer Jane Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R, has a lengthy piece called The Black Sites. Has nothing to do with our African-American brothers and sisters. It has to do with the hidden, black as in midnight, hidden torture chambers set up by the Bush crime family around the planet. If you want to read something that will, like I said, make your blood run cold, make you wonder where in the hell you're living, you should read it. It's in the August 14th issue of The New Yorker magazine, Jane Mayer's article, lengthy article, The Black Sites. Yeah, I read that while we were visiting my daughters and grandkids. I read it online one night and just kind of sat there and reached for the Jack Black bottle. Pour me another one there. Nah, I make it sound like I drink a lot, and I don't. I don't drink enough. All right, we have a break here. We'll be back. I want to share with you what this email that Angie sent me, and then we're going to take phone calls for the rest of the program because I'm starting to lose my voice. Okay? All right. You know what the number is here. It's 800-989-1480. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
She's far too young to die. You can see it in her eyes. It's time to let the mighty eagle soar. Let the eagle soar like she's never soared before. From rocky coast to golden shore.
For your listening pleasure as we go into the break, and we may never come back.
Eagle soar, soar with healing in her wings.
No American will be allowed to torture another human being anywhere in the world.
It's about 25 before the hour from Jan in Mill Valley, California, about that application that was one of the key pieces of evidence against Jose Padilla had his fingerprints on it. Jan writes, maybe, just maybe, Padilla's fingerprints might have turned up on the application because it was handed to him while he was under torture by the government that denies that it tortures. That is, if the fingerprints really were his. Yeah, it's infuriating because we have been warned about this. We have been warned about this. Way back in the 40s, when Orwell wrote his famous book, or two of his famous, Animal Farm and 1984. There it is, there it is. When Eric Hoffer wrote The True Believer, there it is. And you can pick four or five more. Huxley's Brave New World. There it is. We've been warned about all this. Hell, go back to It Can't Happen Here, which was poorly written, but, you know. We've been warned and warned and warned and warned about this. About this encroaching fascism. Here we are. Jesus, I just don't believe it. That something like this could happen. I don't care what Padilla is accused of. And I mean that. He is entitled, as long as we're here, he's entitled to what amounts to a fair and speedy trial. His whole case should have been thrown out. It should have been thrown out. 3 years in solitary confinement? The Sixth Amendment for him was toilet paper.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall have... the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Jesus, God, that goes back to the Magna Carta! That goes back to the 13th century, and the Bush crime family, down the toilet with it. It doesn't mean anything anymore.
Oh, my God. So the Padilla thing, huh? So Angie writes... I just read about the not surprising outcome of this horrible Jose Padilla trial. The Bush people have managed to take someone who had never done anything that looks remotely like an actual crime and without any evidence have procured a guilty verdict. Well done, you Nazis. It is revolting the way Bush sent a filthy spokesperson out to commend the court for this verdict. How sleazy can it get? Did they deliver a check, too? Can you even believe this is America? I am so sick of feeling ashamed of this country. Never in my life did I once even consider I would feel like this. The shame is so intense and thick it's tangible. Is it possible that the damage and destruction wrought by this fake piece of crap president could have been so complete without every bit of it having been planned and carried out on purpose? I don't see how else they could have caused so much destruction across every aspect of what we used to have and used to be. There isn't one facet of what was built here over the last 200 years that has not been defiled and destroyed and ruined and raped and pillaged and murdered. It would be a joke if it wasn't so sick and disturbing. Sending this man, Padilla, back to prison when the whole world can see that he is a pawn, an innocent person who had the misfortune to become a Muslim and travel to Egypt, is disgusting. In the surreal wasteland of Republican thinking, this is the equivalent now of being a terrorist. How do you convict someone on the basis that they looked into something? And is that a crime now? The message is perfectly clear. A crime is whatever the government says it is, whether it is or not. The real crime is in his arrest without charges and being illegally held for years and being tortured to the point that he lost his mind. The government has a green light now to do this to anyone they want. The so-called justice system here is a crock and a squirming bowl of cowards and sycophants. This nation has become a toilet bowl, a government of scum and liars and thieves and crooks and fascists, Nazi blanks. How did this happen? With all of the professionalism we once had here, where are the decent men with guts and honor who know how to escort criminals to prison cells? What more need be done to rouse them? Do they still exist, or have they too been exported for corporate plunder? Perhaps they'd all been taken out by the president's private mafia. It's hard to say, but I know I feel this much outrage, and I cannot be alone. That nothing is being done to stave off the complete and total death of America tells me that whoever is pulling the strings is not American and couldn't care less about America. This is all by design, and the bitch of it is we will never know who did this and why. What's coming to us in the very near future will be a shock so profound that most Americans will not be able to handle it. Many will not survive. We don't know how to survive anymore, and there is no other option than buying your survival. No hunting or fishing or open land where you can at least find food and shelter and water. And this filth calling itself government will stand by and do nothing, allowing all the suffering they ignored after Katrina and allowing bloated bodies to lay decomposing in city streets all over America. They will not care. They will have their billions in personal plunder and will long ago have left this continent to settle into cushy luxury suites in Europe, where they would be waited on by young men in white jackets who call them sir and see to their every minor whim. The scum of the earth has clubbed and robbed its way to the controls, and they have left everyone to suck mud and die while they feast in luxury and toast their scum of the earth friends, congratulating each other on their superiority. It's really blanked up. Angie. Okay. Let's do some phone calls. Let's start with, who do we start with? Luke? Let's start with Luke, who's calling in from Knoxville, Tennessee, listening on the Internet. Hey, Luke.
Hi, Mike. One thing before I get to my subject, just also remember this is the same Jose Padilla who they had in custody for 5 weeks. And the main reason they busted him out was the day before some lady named Kathleen Rowley had given testimony before Congress.
Yeah.
And the Phoenix memo. And the next day, amazingly enough, they get Crisco John up in Moscow to announce, oh, by the way, here, news media, watch this.
Yeah, sure.
But the thing I wanted to call about
and
was...
Rowley, for the people who don't know, she was the CIA...
FBI.
FBI person who was screaming for somebody to pay attention to what she was talking about. For the PDB that said Bin Laden... determined to strike in the U.S., and then Miss Rowley, and nobody paying attention. Oh, well. Go ahead.
Oh, well. Well, the story I was talking about this week is the story, the Wikipedia story, where we find out that, amazingly enough, a whole bunch of corporations are going into Wikipedia and changing history.
Well, the only one I read about is Fox News.
Well, I did, too, but, I mean, there were a bunch of others, but Fox was the one that stood out, because you're sitting there going, well, let's see now. They went into Keith Olbermann's and changed some in his biography. They went into Mr. Franken's and changed something in his biography.
Oh yeah, I've been hit too. There is a Mike Malloy biography there, and some freak got in there and said he was responsible for my being fired from WLS. And what pisses me off is I wasn't fired from WLS.
Yeah.
I quit.
Well, the thing that got to me, and I got thinking about it, one thing I got kind of angry about, but then later on another little thing hit me, and I got thinking about it. Now, okay, these are the same people who, when it was some fellow named Dan Rather, accepted a letter that turned out to be fake, that you couldn't tell when you looked at it was fake. You had to be scientifically examined to prove it was a fake.
Right.
These are the same people that demanded he be fired. you know, oh, he's you know, he's damaged, you know.
Sure.
But amazingly enough, I don't hear anybody in the media, in what I've heard called the lamestream media, that I don't hear anybody crying, you know, we want Bill O'Reilly's butt on a rail heading out of town.
No, no, you know? and you won't, because mainstream media, with one or two notable exceptions, like Keith Olbermann, is infested by whores, no offense to sex workers, and cowards and duplicitous bastards who really don't care. There's only one way to stop this, and eventually it's going to happen, and it's what Jefferson talked about, the tree of freedom, liberty, the tree of liberty had to be fertilized every once in a while with the blood of tyrants and patriots.
But,
and the older I get, the more I think that's going to happen.
Well, the thing that got to me, though, that kind of the two brain cells that's still alive in my mind met and had this little thought, and I got thinking about it. Now, Mr. Franken, if I'm not mistaken, is an official candidate for the United States Senate.
Yeah.
Now, isn't it interesting? I'm just curious if somebody's talked to anybody at the FEC or the FCC and wonder what they think about a news organization falsifying information about a United States senatorial candidate.
Hey, freedom of the press.
I mean, but don't you think the voice of the Federal Election Commission should be saying something?
Yeah, I do, and I think you and I should be saying something. I think you and I should figure out who did that and then track him down and give him the Jose Padilla treatment, if you know what I'm talking about. Listen, I got to leave here. Thanks for checking in, all right? Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
I'm in the middle. Hey, hey. Working for something that I can't touch and sometimes can't even believe in. Sometimes wraps around too tight, so tight.
Dictatorship seem orderly. When one man makes all the decisions, there is no need for negotiation or compromise.
It's about 10 before the hour. Spitfire writes in, regarding Padilla, the purpose of torture, we need to keep repeating that the purpose of torture is not to get information. It is to get a false confession. This makes sense when you consider there's no such thing as an international terrorist network called Al-Qaeda or Spectre or anything else. But you can get people to say there is if you use thumbscrews. Yeah. Well, remember, the purpose of torturing Winston Smith was to get him to love Big Brother, because he didn't love Big Brother. It wasn't to stop Winston Smith from leading a revolution. The only revolution Winston Smith was involved in was his romantic affair with Julia. And that took something away from Big Brother, according to O'Brien. Remember? Winston Smith was a cog in the machine. But they tortured him, and finally they took him to the ultimate individual hell, room 101, until he betrayed Julia. That's all they wanted. And isn't it the last line in the novel? He loved Big Brother. This filthy pervert Dick Cheney and this cretinous idiot George W. Bush, they don't care anything about Padilla, Al-Qaeda, or Al-Snida, or Al-Baida, or Osama bin Laden. That's nonsense. They're in this for utter, absolute, total power. In their case, it's not love like it was with Big Brother or O'Brien or Winston Smith. No, 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 no. It's total acquiescence to what they do, the Bush crime family. No questions, no checks and balances, Just go about your business as long as your business doesn't interfere with us. Just go away. This is no longer the United States of America, duly constituted with three branches of government that try to act as checks and balances. No, no. Stay out of our way. What did they say some time ago? We create our own reality, and by the time you've figured out what it is, we've moved on and have created another one. Those are the words of somebody who is schizophrenic and totally delusional. We create our own reality. It's ours, totally ours. That's where we live. And when you figure out how mad we really are, then we go on and create another one. This Jose Padilla case is an utter, absolute, total, mind-blowing outrage.
How else can you explain convincing the population that by buying duct tape and plastic wrap that somehow they're going to survive a massive terrorist attack, or that having to stand in line to buy gasoline is somehow normal, or that health care that is affordable and free is somehow of the devil? They create their own realities.
Yes, they do. And the problem is, they're the ones that control the matrix. So we're the ones that have got to live inside the matrix. Unless we take, which pill is it? I always forget. The red pill? Is it the red pill that allows you to see what these filthy dogs are doing? Or is it the blue pill? I don't even know anymore. Somebody let me know. Oh, no, now I'll get 8,000 emails.
You've got a president who stands up there and talks about one of the most horrifying tragedies that's ever happened to America, no matter what version of 9/11 you believe. He says he hit the trifecta and people clap.
Oh, I know. They laughed and cheered. Let's go to your phone calls. Rhonda is calling from San Francisco. Rhonda's listening on the Quake. Hey, Rhonda.
Hello, Mike.
How are you?
You know, if I were to place my hand on your shoulder, it would fall right off by melting, because you are on fire tonight.
My hand on your shoulder
would melt right off, because my hand would melt off because you're on fire. It's great.
I'm just irritated. I'm so irritated. When you're sick and not sick enough to be in a hospital, sick enough to just, you know, like you feel like hell and you just lay around, and I should have been reading. You want to take that time to read, but you don't take the time to read because you're coughing, so you watch television. And you it starts to build up. I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, I want to compliment whoever chooses the music going into the breaks.
That's
really good
Kathy.
Choices.
That's Kathy. It's all Kathy. She produces all the sound for this program.
And you know, the smooth song stylings of John Ashcroft remind me of that scene in Cabaret at the Beer Park where the youth sing Tomorrow Belongs
Tomorrow
to Me.
Do you have that, Kathy?
So I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, I know.
I just see that Nazism just is really explicit when you hear him sing that song.
I need to rent that movie again. Oh, my God, that was such a great movie, especially if you really take it in context.
Yeah. You know, the reason why I was calling is because, and please don't quote me on the source, because I don't remember for sure, but I think it was on the BBC that I heard that the Chinese are going into the plane building business.
Oh, no.
You know, like Airbus and
oh,
Boeing.
No.
So imagine you're on the plane and you have your window seat and you know, you're on the red eye and you put your head against the window and poof,
the window
pops out.
The window pops out.
And then
oh,
the
my
wing
God.
Falls off and you fly out because you're sucked out. I'm just like, you know, I have been looking at labels for years, actually, and I used to notice how everything used to be made in Mexico or hecho in Mexico, and then things went over
to China.
And that's why we're getting all the influx of Mexicans coming up here.
And you know what is really weird? It says on the products now, hecho in China. Hey, listen, I got to leave there. Here, Rhonda, here's some music for you. Thanks, dear. Thanks
Merci.
For checking in. All
Au
right.
Revoir.
Take care. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. 6 and a half past the hour. On the editorial page of New York Times today, City Life. You ever read the City Life? Vernon Klinkenborg writes from sometimes, and Francis X. Klein's writes sometimes. In today's little, very short piece, starts out by saying it can hardly be a coincidence that the nation's most ethnically diverse county. Jesus, let me try that again. It can hardly be a coincidence that the nation's most ethnically diverse county, Queens, has just been awarded the top prize as the nation's busiest library system. And it goes on to talk about all the things that occur in the Queens library system, the borough of New York, even though they're operating under a shorter hours and smaller staff and pinch budget since Bush's trifecta that occurred, the most horrifying part occurred in New York. But it points out in Queens, the library branches there hum with free English language lessons. For decades, Francis Klein's writes, the library has run a new American assimilation program, capitalizing on a warp speed cycle of migration that sees the system signing up as many new members each year as those who move on. And yada, yada, yada. The point is, I read that this morning, and I thought, you know, that reminds me. I had good friends who lived in New York for a while. They since have moved to Atlanta. But when Jack and Robin lived in New York, Robin's from New York and Jack lived there, and they were both actors. And when I used to go up to see them a lot. And Jack, one time I went up, this is years ago, 20 years ago. And I went up and Jack said, we've got, you want to go get some free tickets to see a play tonight? You want to go see... Little Shop of Horrors. Do you want to go see Little Shop of Horrors? And it was playing in the Village at the theater where it originated. I said, yeah, but, geez, you know, $35 or two. No. We can get in free. How do you get in free? Well, we go to the International Center, Jack said, and we teach people to speak English. I said, really? He said, yeah, Rob and I do this when we can. I make it a point to go every Monday. I think Robin goes every Thursday, and we do this. If we don't have a gig or something, we go do this. And it's not for the free tickets. That's just what they give us. They don't pay us, but they'll give us free tickets to off-Broadway or off-Broadway plays. He said, you want to go along? We've got a couple of Russians we're teaching. I said, okay, yeah, I'd love to. So we went down, and Jack and I, and there was two Russian women and a Chinese man who sat at our table, very informal, the International Center in Midtown Manhattan. You go upstairs, they buzz you in, and this room, huge room, oh my God. There must have been 80 or 90 different languages buzzing around, and volunteers teaching people English so that they could assimilate. Now, the reason that all came rushing back to me, like I said, this is 15, 20 years ago. The reason that all came rushing back to me when I read this little thing in the New York Times today about Queens, as I started to think, can you imagine if all these militia bastards who want to arm themselves and go play tough guy on the Mexican U.S. border, if all these guys would say, okay, look, we're going to set up in church basements, ha ha ha, and BFW posts and civic centers and gymnasiums, we're going to help you people assimilate into this country. That's what we're going to do. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to teach you English, and this person over here is going to help you get your papers, and this person over here is going to explain to you the American Union movement, and this person over here is going to help you pick what kind of a trade you want and what kind of a union you should join, and this person over here is going to explain to you how the Republican Party is run by demons, ghouls, and soul eaters, and we're going to help you. We don't care if you're from Guatemala or Oaxaca or wherever you're from. Come on in. Come on in. This is the United States. Don't listen to that goddamn Lou Dobbs on CNN. What does he know? He's a racist, fascist pig who is trying to present himself as a populist. I'll tell you what. Come on over here. Sit down. Sit down aquí. That means here. Sit down. My name's Mike. What's your name? Jose? Hi, Jose. Hola, Jose. Hi, Jose. ¿Cómo está? That means, how are you? Or vice versa. Oh, what am I talking about? It's just weird stuff pops into your head when you've got a couple, 3 days to lay around in bed and consider your sins and watch television and read stuff in the New York Times you probably shouldn't be reading.
I love it when Molly watches Dora the Explorer.
Dora the Explorer, yeah.
Go Diego, go, because then she races up and down to people at our swimming pool in our community going, hola, hola.
¿Cómo está?
¿Cómo está? Hola, hola, verde, rosa.
Es roja.
Es roja. Hey, by the way, there are new Molly pictures. Has everyone gone to see them?
Yeah, everybody's
in
seen
the gallery.
Yes.
MikeMalloy.com, her third birthday, Easter. I'm sorry, were you saying something?
So, I just wonder what would happen if all the jingoistic snots in this country were so afraid. Oh, we're so afraid we're going to lose our whiteness. Let me tell you something. This country has already lost its whiteness. Well, why is this country supposed to be white? What is up with that? I know there's been an effort. We murdered all the red people and enslaved all the black people and said, okay, this is going to be a white Christian nation. Oh, get over it. 30 years from now, there's a surprise coming. So why do I even talk about this? I can remember sitting there with the International Center in Midtown Manhattan. And then it got to be a habit. Every time I go, I'd try to go out and visit Jack and Robin 3-4 times a year because, you know, it's free. Had a place to stay. And this is when you could fly to New York for, what, $35? Take a train for $55? Or was it vice versa? I don't know. But I got in the habit of doing that, of just going to the International Center with Jack and or Robin and sitting down with people, just all sorts of people. Oh, my God. People from the Middle East. People from the former Soviet states. People from South Asia. People from Central and South America and Mexico. And just sitting there while they would look at you like you were some kind of a savior because you were sitting there teaching them English. And it was very basic. All we taught, we used the point and say system. They would give us books, and books were pictographs inside the books. This was not sophisticated language instruction. This was just teaching people, see this? Red light. Stop. Alto. Or whatever the word was. This? Grocery store. Repeat. Say it. Grocery store. Grocery store. Very good. Very good. That's all it was. That's all it was. But no, not... Let's kill the bastards. Kill them. Kill them, some bitches, to come in here and use their welfare system. Why don't we just try to help folks out? We know they're illegal. So what? So what? We know they don't have papers. So what? Help them get the papers. Why not do that? And screw the government. Screw the Bush crime family. You know, forget all that. Just set it up in your churches. Ha ha. Your mosques, your synagogues, your civic associations, your high school gymnasiums, your libraries like they do in Queens, New York. And teach people how to speak the language. And once they know the language, then they can work through the maze of requirements to become legal and to have a job and to pay their way. No, let's not do that. Let's join militias and put barbed wire at the border. I mean, we have a good example of that in the occupied territories in Israel, don't we? Huh? Let's build a wall. That'll work. That makes everybody feel so good. Only in our wall, let's populate our wall with rednecks and former Klansmen and arm them so they can shoot the Mexicans. Huh? I got off on a tangent, and I'm sorry. We'll do your phone calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Tree hugging, peace loving, pot smoking, porn watching, lazy ass hippies like me. Tree hugging, love making, pro choice and gay wedding, widespread digging hippies like me. Skin color blinded, conspiracy minded, protesters of corporate greed. We who have nothing, and most likely will till we all end up locked up in jail by conservative Christian, right-wing Republican, straight white American man.
Learn to speak a language. Learn to speak Arabic. Those in the Arabic regional say, gosh, America's interested in us. They care enough to learn how we speak.
What? Nah, bomb them. Back to your phone calls. Joe is calling from Miami. Joe is listening on WINZ. Hey, Joe.
Hello?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. You just put the thing about Arabs. I'm actually from Lebanon.
Uh-huh.
And Catholic and a proud liberal.
Yeah.
And what I would like to mention, we've been hearing a lot about the fact that doing the universal health care is socialist. I would like to mention that Jesus Christ was the first socialist in history.
Certainly the first socialist in the Christian faith.
Well, even those conservatives that go every Sunday to church and put money in the collection, that money is going to keep the church running and to help the poor that are less fortunate.
Well, we'd like to think that, but I think to a great degree that money is going to buy more property, tax-free property for the Protestant or Catholic Church. It is also going to in somebody's pocket. I don't remember. I was brought up a Baptist and then Methodist. I don't remember Jesus ever saying, "Okay, it's time to pass the hat. Give me some money." I don't remember in the Gospels Jesus ever saying in the famous Sermon on the Mount that it was time to pay up. I know that there was some reference to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar and unto God that which is God's, but I don't think he was talking about money. You know what I'm saying? So in the collection plate that goes into churches, to me it's a scam. It's an absolute scam. It does not, well, never mind. I hear what you're saying, but I'm sorry, Joe. I have no sympathy or empathy or belief in any religious system whatsoever. I think all of them are nothing but scams. No offense intended, pal.
The other thing I would like to mention is that I've been outcasted by my family because they love George Bush and they still think that he's going to liberate Lebanon and the Middle East. And I think that they're like absolutely ignorant and stupid.
Well, if that was even in this freak's mind, he would not have decided a week or so ago to give $30 billion to the Israelis, to give $10 billion in weaponry to the Saudis, to give God knows how many billions to anyone else. Look, George W. Bush wants to see Arabs and Israelis constantly killing each other, because part of Bush's religious structure is that his Messiah will not return until the Jews have total control of the Holy Land. And
true.
And then when the Messiah does come, this Christian Messiah, the Jews will have one chance to become Christians and accept Jesus as the Messiah. And if they do not, they will be murdered. Now, that's insanity. That's insane. I said earlier tonight, to me, Christianity is a death cult. And I think all three religions of the book, or people of the book, are all death cults. I don't like it, Joe. I hate it, and I wish you could free yourself of it. But somebody said, famous, centuries ago, give me a child till he's five, I'll give you a Catholic for life. All right, Joe, thanks for checking in.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you.
I agree that the historic Jesus, if such a man existed, and is not total mythology, so of course he was a liberal, of course he was a socialist, of course that's why the Romans had him murdered. My God, so to speak. Of course. But like so many things that had some good attached to them, the right wing, in this country anyway, has co-opted whatever religion, issue, belief, phraseology, language, and totally murdered it and polluted it and trashed it. So that the word patriot, you know what the word patriot means now? Nothing. It means somebody who sits around with a gun waiting for somebody to come across the border so they can shoot him. One thing that Republicans, conservatives have done in this country, with the help of pigs like Limbaugh and the rest of his clones, is they have so totally corrupted and destroyed language that it's just so difficult to carry on a conversation anymore unless you have some sort of, who wrote the European Book of Phrases when you're traveling? Frommer? If you don't have a book of phrases so you can translate what things used to mean and what they mean now, thanks to the perversion and corruption of conservatives and Republicans. You know what I'm saying? We'll be back after the break. This is Nova M Radio. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Don't like the Northeast, he hates the coast, and he hasn't got a friend in France. Jesus votes Republican, and he saved us from Al Gore. And he believes in trickle down and shipping jobs offshore. He wishes all them unemployed was not trying to tax his wealth. Your brother's keeper just don't apply, cause it's everybody for himself. Jesus came in glory, and in glory he shall return. The preacher said, in God we trust, ye Democrats shall burn. No butterflies, no hanging chads can save them in the end. Jesus votes Republican, thank God for that, my friend.
We will apply the immigration laws. We're saying welcome to America. Why don't you share information with us?
It's about 25 before the hour. Now, the irony is, of course, I love gospel music. Oh, I love gospel music. The best Elvis music was his gospel music. I love these black and white gospel singing groups. Oh, Lord, I could just sit around and listen to them for hours and hours and hours.
Whereas I mostly like their album covers. There is some of the best, worst hair on the and clothing,
yeah,
on the gospel.
Has
everyone seen the Molly pictures?
That's very true. Jack writes in subject line, "What pill to take?" Mike, those photos of Molly are great. Oh, there you go. He says, "The pill I've found that helps fight this Bush matrix, it's one I've concocted, which consists of one part Xanax and one part mescaline. I call it Xanolin. It's rather groovy." Jack, and then he's got a quote here from Huxley. Huxley, I guess you all know this, Aldous Huxley anyway, was a great drug user. If you've never read Doors of Perception, you should. Or Island, not just Brave New World and the other stuff, but Island is a great one. Anyway, here's a quote from Huxley. "If we could sniff or swallow something that would, for 5 or 6 hours each day, abolish our solitude as individuals, atone us with our fellows in a glowing exaltation of affection, and make life in all its aspects seem not only worth living, but divinely beautiful and significant, and if this heavenly, world-transfiguring drug were of such a kind that we could wake up next morning with a clear head and an undamaged constitution, then it seems to me all our problems, and not merely the small problem of discovering a novel pleasure, all our problems would be wholly solved and earth would become paradise. Aldous Huxley. Well, what's his name? Andrew Weil would say such a drug exists and it's released in your mind when you meditate. That was a great book or article. It was an article in Psychology Today 30 years ago, maybe longer, by Andrew Weil, Dr. Andrew Weil, titled The Natural Mind. I guess he went on and turned it into a book. I don't know. But it was listing the relative merits of getting high by taking the shortcut, which would be drugs, or getting high by doing it the proper way, which would be through meditation. And it was a tremendous essay. I remember Weil was never one to condemn drug use. He was of that 60s attitude, it's your head. Or as Wavy Gravy said at Woodstock, be careful of the brown acid going around. There's a warning on that. But, whatever, it's your head. Right? And Andrew Weil was of that generation, or is of that generation. And I can remember reading in The Natural Mind that it was very, very simply whatever path you wanted to take. But you could tell from the way he wrote it, if one chose to find meaning between the lines, that Weil recommended the longer journey, not the shortcut. But I like the idea of Xanolin. Xanax and mescaline. Oh my God. You'd be able to see anything you wanted to see, you just wouldn't care. Let's go back to your phone calls before this degenerates even further. Jason is calling from Seattle, listening on Sirius. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. How are you?
Hey, not too bad. I don't know if you've heard of that book, Behold a Pale Horse by William Cooper.
I've heard of it. I've never read it.
Man, I tell you what, this is the first time I've ever heard your show, and I've been reading this book, and it talks exactly what you're talking about with martial law coming, and he was talking about this back in 90 and 91, how they're trying to take our gun rights away by registering us, and kind of like the same thing that happened in Russia and Luthanasia, and how they took their guns away. But I couldn't agree more with you about the Bush administration, what a bunch of fascist pigs they are over there. And then, like you said, you talk to different people in the American public, and they don't want to hear about any of that stuff. They think everything's just hunky dory in their little box, and Congress sits there and passes all these laws, and they just turn a blind eye to all this stuff.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jason. Go ahead.
And one day it's going to hit them, and they're going to realize, well, what the hell happened? And just like William Cooper says, it's going to be our own fault because we just sit there and do nothing, while the Congress passes all these laws to imprison us in those camps, just like you're talking about, that are going to be up and down, all the freeways, all the interstates, all the railroad tracks, and they're going to be wondering how come their families are split up and we're working in freaking concentration camps, basically.
Well, I would think that you'd have a lot of people to discuss that with, given the fact that you live in Seattle. Seattle's a pretty progressive city. I've got some friends out there. That pretty much believe what you believe, so I'm sure you can find people in Seattle to organize and get together with to resist this nonsense, don't you think?
Yeah. And that's the other thing I was going to ask, and there is, I'm an electrician in construction for 13 years, I can definitely talk about to certain people about it, but some people, they think you're just a freaking almost terrorist, and just like this book says, they're going to label us terrorists when we're actually the nationalists and the patriots that are trying to protect this country.
Well, it's a fine line, and I was also mentioning how language has been corrupted. When you use words now like patriot or nationalist, they've taken on a different meaning. The word nationalist, I think, was totally corrupted back in the years of Hitler, because remember, the Nazis were the Nationalist Socialist Party.
Right.
And as far as patriot is concerned, patriot used to be a good word. To me, what it meant was somebody who believed in the documents that this country was founded on, the fact that they were living documents and had to be changed as we went along. I think the founders worked that in there. And to me, a patriot was someone who said, okay, look, you know, I'm not going to be arrogant because I happen to be born here or happen to immigrate here, but I live here and I've got some freedoms that are guaranteed to me by my country's documents, and I want to defend those freedoms and I want to believe in those freedoms. That, to me, was a patriot. And now the word has been totally corrupted, so I don't know. But anyway, Jason, good to hear from you. Thanks a lot. I hope to hear from you again. Take care, pal. You'll find people to talk to in Seattle for sure. Thanks, Jason.
I thought of another slightly more recent book that comes to mind about the theme of the evening, and that's Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
That was a good book. I guess that came out in the 80s or 90s.
Yeah, Handmaid's Tale. Yeah, absolutely. I've had a couple of people say I should read the Pale Horse book, but I haven't read it. Chuck is calling from Tennessee, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How are you? Is this the Chuck? This is the Chuck from Tennessee?
How's that?
You are the Chuck from Tennessee. Oh, never mind. Hey, Chuck.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
All these W stickers you see on the cars?
Yes.
Have you noticed how they've been dropping lately?
Dropping?
Yeah. Like at one point, I noticed that about 40% of the cars on the road had W stickers on them.
Yeah.
Then I noticed maybe a couple of months ago that it's down to maybe 20%. And guess what I've noticed this week? They're virtually non-existent. Have you noticed that?
Well, you know, I live in Metro Atlanta, in the Atlanta area. Now, you don't see a whole lot of W stickers or Bush stickers in when we go into Atlanta. You don't see them, but out here where we live, and in the exurbs in the suburbs around Atlanta. This place has become always has been, I think, for the past 100 years, it's been a magnet for people whose racism was not as or their right wing attitudes were not as pronounced as say in Alabama or Mississippi, but damn near they could disguise it better here. So as a result, you still see a lot of W stickers. Once you get outside the city limits of Atlanta, and of course go ahead.
I was just going to say that I've lived in the South all my life, all over the South.
Right.
I drive a truck. I called you here about 6 weeks ago and told you about an incident I had on the CB where conversation.
Yeah, I remember.
And remember my saying that the tide was turning?
Yes.
Well, I've been paying close attention to these stickers, and I can tell you right now, there's no better indicator of what the Southern mind is thinking than to see what I'm talking about, because once they've admitted to themselves that they no longer want that sticker on their car, they will still talk a good talk.
Yeah.
But they have decided that it's time to abandon ship.
But who?
And I, the Southern man.
Yeah, but
the redneck.
But who is a Southern white redneck going to turn to?
Okay, that's where I was going.
Right.
Okay, Carl has abandoned ship. Your screener has told me tonight that Tony Snow has abandoned ship.
He's getting ready to, yeah.
And I think you're going to see a lot of them abandon ship over the next few weeks because the economy's taking a nosedive.
We're in for a hell of a descent. I think it's coming, Chuck.
Yep. It's going to be real, real bad. They're putting their fingers in the dam. It's not going to be the 30s, but it's going to be as bad as the early 70s. And I can tell you right now that everybody in the South hasn't got, half of these people have got, have not got fixed mortgages.
Yeah,
okay?
That's true.
Seeing their savior as being the sellout.
That's true. Chuck, I have to leave it there, but the next time you call in, I want you to come up with what you think these Southern folk are, who they're going to turn to for leadership now that they realize the Republican Party has cut their throats.
was, but I'm still not sleepy. Tried to trick myself.
Fear of state religion, that's not what we're going for. We don't want for one governmental religion. Government will never, you know, say this is the religion. We're free from society for religion.
He wanted to be a part of the future, a girl like me. There is a sky illuminating us. Someone is out there that we truly trust. There is a rainbow for you and me. A beautiful sunrise eternally. God is a girl wherever you are.
It's about 8 before the hour. Thanks to the crew, Ian Huff, who engineered the program at our flagship station in Phoenix, KPHX, also handled the phone calls here. Billy Foster, our moderator in the NovamRadio.com chat room. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Thanks to the moderators at MikeMalloy.com at the message board. And our executive producer, Catherine Bay, who wants you to know that by popular demand, there are new Molly photos in the gallery at MikeMalloy.com. You just won't quit. So, not that we don't have another 5 minutes of the program left here, but before we get into the, you know, the signing off of the, I want you to have a great weekend. And, you know, God, I might even be here Monday. I certainly plan on being here, but I want to try some of that Xanolin. I want Xanolin. All I have is prednisone, right? Not fair, not fair, as Molly would say. Back to your phone calls. Bob is calling from Seattle. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hey, man, you were starting to sound like Timothy Leary about 15 minutes ago, man.
Yeah, that's real true, isn't it?
Listen, I called to let you know something. There's the website you might want to check out. He's a doctor that's in practice in New York.
Yeah?
He's a complementary physician. That's what they call themselves, the guys that practice a combination of traditional and alternative medicine.
Right.
They prefer to be called complementary physicians.
Yeah, they complement each other.
And he's
right.
Past president of the National Association of Complementary Physicians.
Yeah.
And just log on to drhoffman.com.
drhoffman.com.
Don't spell out doctor. Just put dr.
drhoffman.com.
And you can also get him. He's in private practice. He sees patients from 7 in the morning to 7 at night, and he's also on WOR 710 radio in New York.
Right.
In the evening from 9 to 10 Eastern time and noon to 2 on Saturdays.
All right. Well,
and he's syndicated. If you don't get him on a radio station there, you can get him on the internet, the audio, WOR710.com.
All right. Does he have Xanolin?
I think you'll find he's a plethora of you know of good information for you, Mike.
All right, I'll check it out, Bob. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate the tip. drhoffman.com. Thank you. Roberta is calling from San Diego, listening on KLSD. Hey, Roberta.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I want some of that Xanolin or whatever it is.
Yeah, me too.
Tonight I'm settling for Old Moon Zinfandel from Trader Joe's. But anyway.
Well, that's almost as good.
I stopped next to a man at a stoplight today, a total stranger. I turned to him and called out, "I sure hope George Bush is happy with what he's done to everyone."
Yeah.
And he shouted back, "He's effed us all." And the light changed and we both drove away.
Well, now, why did you shout that out to him?
Well, I do things like that all the time, Mike, because I have the Mike Malloy syndrome.
Uh-oh. That's going to get you in deep hell.
Well, anyway, you know, in the work that I do, and I can't say what it is, I talk to hundreds and hundreds of people across the country every day,
uh-huh.
And everybody is just so sick and tired of all this, and they're really, really tired of the Democrats not doing anything about it. You know, people are losing their hope. They're starting to implode, and they feel like powerless.
I know.
Under the control and the repression. Mm-hmm. Of this regime, and no one's doing anything about it. I mean, is it time for us to flee to Canada? Do you think it's time?
Not quite yet. I've got to stick around and see what happens in the 2008 election. I really do, and not to see if you know, Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or John Edwards becomes president, although I'll be curious to see how that plays out. But I just want to see, there's several things I want to see. What happens to the Republican Party in the 08 election? Who gets returned to office? Who doesn't? Whether or not the election's stolen? Whether or not there's even going to be an election? The only advice I would have if somebody asked me for some, Roberta, is to do what Kathy and I and Molly did, and that is make sure your passport is all fresh and new, and you can use it at the drop of the hat, so to speak, right?
That is if they'll let us out.
Well, that's true, too.
Well, I'm going to just simply have some more wine.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Roberta. Take care.
Good night.
Good night. You have a nice evening. I'd like to have some wine, too, but with all these damn drugs I've been taking, I don't think I should. Well, what the hell, they've dangerously... But what's that stuff they gave me?
Mix it with the Tussinex. That's what I would do.
Tussinex?
You might even wake up.
The Tussinex...
Tomorrow.
...is the damnedest drug I have ever taken in my life.
Hey, if you can't pronounce it, you shouldn't take it. It's just Tussinex.
It's liquid... Codeine. It's liquid hydrocodone, which is...
Rush Limbaugh's favorite beverage.
Rush Limbaugh's drug. It's liquid hydrocodone and some kind of a lung loosener. I don't know, but it certainly... Hey, have a great weekend, all right? I'll see you Monday night. Take care. Take care, y'all. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Oh, yeah. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.